So as you heard, the Fed, not a quarter point, the cut, the rate a half point. Our guy Sully, Ryan Sullivan from CNBC, with us, 135. Susan K. Jones continues. I want to get to a serious story in just a little bit.
Okay.
Susie again went to Target.
I did.
And got a little food. What was your food item?
It's down in the newsroom waiting for me to eat it.
What is it?
I got a Caesar salad.
Caesar salad? Very good.
They're nice. And then I purchased a top because the top I'm wearing, I just sort of threw on today, and I'm not particularly happy with it.
I think it looks fine.
Well, and Target, if you go to the 30 to 70% off clearance, you can always find a little darling little something for, you know, 7, 8, 9, maybe 12 bucks if you're feeling excited. But I got one for 5.
Yeah, that's very good.
Just kind of punch a little color. Because
a little color. You wore it in here earlier. I thought it looked very nice. So 2 days ago, you joined us, and you mentioned that you were dog sitting at a house. You were mad that you didn't bring your pillow.
Yes.
You also mentioned that you were snooping everywhere, including having the prescription medicine from said friend.
I knew what it was because I'm a connoisseur of drugs.
Okay. I didn't realize... Drug expert, Susie Jones, drug expert is with me.
I am a prescription drug connoisseur.
Yeah, well, congratulations.
Thank you. And I knew that a half of one of said pills would help me fall asleep.
A little Xanax or something like
that? It was not Xanax. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you what it was.
I'm going to tell you? Okay.
No.
What's the most surprising thing you found at this place while snooping?
Oh, my God. That's a great question.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I think I uncovered, I say it on the radio?
Sex toys?
Yeah. A vibrator.
Yeah, that's fine. People have them.
They do.
By the way, they should.
I think everybody should. I have several.
Yeah. Good. Sex is great. Sex is good for your health. Sex is good.
For your body, right? When you have that reaction?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, orgasms are...
Properly
rated. Yeah. Well, by yourself, with one other person, multiple people... As long as nobody's forcing anything, whatever works for you.
We're going down a very dangerous road here, I don't really want to talk about it.
Yeah. Would you? Okay. You've said you've snooped.
Oh yes.
You're willing. Are you willing? Is that a line you can't go? Would you use somebody else's sex toy?
No.
No.
I think that's a pretty solid line.
I think that's one.
It's a little bit like toothbrushes. I mean, there's certain things. That's another great one for our listening audience.
Okay. If you had to use one, a toothbrush or a sex toy while you're staying at someone's house, which way would you go?
Oh, my God. I love that question.
And you have no choice. You will vanish from the planet, but you have to use one, toothbrush or the sex toy.
Yeah.
Where are you going? 651-461-9226.
How we stumble down these various winding roads is absolutely beyond me.
I had a friend of mine years ago.
Who had a sex toy.
Yes. And she called me and said, and we didn't live too far from it. She said, you have to go to my house right now. I'm like, why? She's like, I left.
Said item.
I left a friend of mine.
Bob.
On the bed. I go, fine. And she explained. I go, okay. And I go, what's the problem? I have my cleaning ladies coming today. And I have this relationship with them. And I think they would be very alarmed.
Did you?
I did, but I called her and said I couldn't get in. And they said the clean leaves were there, and they seemed alarmed. She's like, did they? I go, no, I'm kidding.
I got it. You're nice.
I put it under bed.
That is funny.
Okay, now an abrupt switch.
I want to play you
a soundbite from yesterday from the governor of Arkansas, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, former press secretary for Donald John Trump. First term governor of Arkansas. Mm-hmm. She's at an event. With the former president, they would have a bit of a Q&A, but she would talk first, and she was talking about how much she loves her kids.
Her kids.
How important her kids are to her, and also when she's feeling herself a little bit, that the kids bring her back. And at the end, she makes this comment about humility and brings in, I repeat The individual's name is Kamala Harris. But you'll hear the whole soundbite, and you'll hear how she pronounces the name also.
Okay.
So my kids keep me humble. Unfortunately, Kamala Harris doesn't have anything keeping her humble.
What a repugnant, insulting comment. Because it's about the kids. It isn't about immigration. It's not about the economy. It's not about policy positions. She does this lead up about her kids and how important they are. And then calls out, she's not Kamala. So again, you are completely allowed to disagree with the vice president, vote for Donald Trump, believe in Donald Trump 100%. And also, you're allowed to mispronounce a word, right? It happens. But the attempts by diehard MAGA supporters to intentionally call her Kamala, geez, with what overtones? I can't imagine what overtones we're doing there. So that's disgusting enough. But to act that way, I think it's pathetic to me. I really do. It just infuriates me because I've talked to Jamie Yuccas on this show many times about this stuff. I've talked to other female friends of mine who either chose to not have kids, could not have kids, and the scorn they will get from some people. When, by the way, my life is immeasurably better because of my three children. And also, when I was so close to Jen's two kids, Christian Hawken, and also Mikey is still such an important part of my life, okay? So I can't imagine. But you know what? I have plenty of friends who don't have kids. You know what? They have great lives. They have great lives. And maybe they chose, or maybe they didn't, and they wanted to have kids. And by the way, Kamala Harris is a stepmother to multiple kids, and those kids rave about her. So that bugged the bleep out of me. And it's not about, oh, I agree with Harris on position after position, because I don't. Mm. I don't. But continued to keep calling her Kamala. And then she doesn't have kids like I do, or like all of you do. As a mother, how do you take that?
Well, obviously it's offensive, 100%. And unnecessary. I mean, yes. As you say,
right.
She could have, like, she had the crowd. I mean, it is a humbling experience to be a mom. They're exhausting.
Yep.
You want to tear your hair out half the time when your kids are, especially over the younger years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're spilling
things. As a dad also, if you're involved, it's
grind.
It is an incredible grind.
I have to tell you aside, my son now has a son.
Yep.
And I said, do you love being a dad? And he said, I don't know if I'd go to love right now because he's 2 months old and all we do is we're up all night.
Yeah.
So to take a shot at somebody who chooses to or for whatever reason didn't have children, I think is horrific. Because so many, like my daughter has told me she's not going to have kids. She said that I might be a grandma with her, but it would be a pre-owned child.
Pre-owned.
That's what she called it.
Yeah, pre-owned.
Anyway, the point is,
some of us might call that adoption.
But the point is that,
to go to that level.
Yeah. Unnecessary. And it's ugly. Let's play, you know, that's the problem. The whole flipping electoral, the whole scene right now is just ugly.
Ugly in a lot of ways. Thank you, Susan.
Yes.
I know you got to go cover the protest.
There's a protest at the U.
So Laura's going to give us a 2 o'clock,
yes,
2 o'clock update. What do you want to say about this part? Because ugly and pathetic is insulting is what comes to mind. Do you want to defend it? You want to take the opposite position? You certainly can. And again, I don't want to hear that you disagree with Harris, because that's not what we're talking about. There is ample opportunity to disagree with the vice president on issue after issue after issue. Own it. You get it. But to mock her, to belittle her because she didn't have a biological child. I don't even know if she's ever spoken out about that. If she made the decision to not have a child, fine. Nothing wrong with it. If she couldn't do it and wanted to have a kid, that's terrible. It's awful. Plenty of people I know in my life face that. It can be incredibly hard on relationships. It can be hard on your wallet, you know, with IVF and how expensive it is. But to, and by the way, all the individuals are booing her over that. Awful. That's what I'm saying. I think it all was awful, and Susie using the word ugly, I agree with 1,000%. What do you want to say about this? You want to agree? You want to add nuance? Or do you want to go at me on this one? That's fine. We take calls and texts on the stylesfinancial.com. Talk and text line 651-461-9226. Once again, 651-461-9226. Tell me your thoughts. We'll read them and hear from you when we come back. Hey, I think the bumper music didn't play, so we're going to jump in right here. That's not a problem. By the way, good correction. It was a – let me go back to the bear. Black bear, not a brown bear. Black bear, not a brown bear. My mistake. No, Chris, turn it off. That's fine. We're good. We're good. All right, let's get to the – let's just play the Sarah Huckabee Sanders soundbite once again for people just chiming in. She's talking for a while about the importance of her children. I believe her. You know, I have no problem with that. If she wants to talk about her kids, bravo, not a problem at all. And also talked about how they keep her in her place, even when she, you know, hey, I'm the governor, you know, and talks about humbling for a little bit, and then offered up this soundbite as a comparison with Kamala Harris.
So my kids keep me humble. Unfortunately, Kamala Harris doesn't have anything keeping her humble.
They should be booing for how insulting that comment is. But you already have J.D. Vance and the childless cat lady comments. And now this, as if any woman in this country is not the same unless she has kids. And as I said, I thought my life was pretty good until Hunter was born, April 5th, 1995. And man, kids are tough and they are humbling. But I can't imagine a second of my life without them. However, if you don't have kids, your choice, or you didn't have the chance, you still could lead an amazing life, the life you always wanted to live. And so to insult someone when there's all sorts of policy differences you can and should make, but you're going to go to that card and then we're going to have the rhetoric conversation, give me a bleeping break. I think it's awful. And as Susie said, the word I would use is ugly. What do you want to say? 651-461-9226. It's absolutely nobody's business either way. Another text. It's right out of Project 2025. They want everyone to be heterosexual and married with children. Women maliciously slamming other women who don't fit exactly in the box they want. They usually do it behind their back. This was just public. Thanks for calling it out. It's almost as if Republicans are doing everything possible to lose the election, starting with the VP pick. I don't have kids or cats. It's nobody's business. It just demonstrates the fact that these people have nothing of substance to say. I think they have plenty of areas where they can make points on the economy, on immigration, on other areas where there are a lot of people, including independents, who look back at significant parts of the Trump administration and liked it. I'm on record. I'm not voting for Donald Trump. I don't think he's qualified for the job. I think he demonstrates that on a regular basis. I'm also on record that the 2019 candidate, Harris, was well left for me politically. Well left. I still don't think she's provided good answers on why she morphed these positions. If you missed it, on Friday, She did an interview with the Pennsylvania local station where she wasn't very good at all, in my opinion. When the anchor or reporter, I think it was the local anchor, was asking valid questions, she just kept saying what she's already said publicly on separating from Joe Biden and more about your economic proposal. The exact same thing she said before, and she hasn't said a lot because she just jumped in the race in late July. So lay out more positions. Go at Harris for the lack of depth. Go at Harris for the flip-floppy. Go at Walls for what happened with the George Floyd riots. But going at her because she doesn't have biological children? Gross. Chad, it's ugly and rude and a terrible example to her kids, who she supposedly cares about. I'm not going to say in any way she doesn't care about her kids. I'm not going there. Just reading a text here. We can disagree with others and still be respectful and stick to common sense boundaries. Very unchristian thing to say. When do people stop being human beings? Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's not just this religion. There are others where you talk about kindness and respecting differences, and that's a huge part of who you are. And then belittling someone who doesn't have children, that's really the way you want to go. Let's not forget that Trump continues to intentionally mispronounce Harris's name also. Yep. As someone who can't have children, it's like having to grieve that all over again. Let's see. There was more down here. So somebody said, Harris and Waltz, scumbags. So I come back. So you're okay with this comment? Person said yes. Didn't give me more. Just said yes. If it was someone I 100% believed in as a great friend, as a partner, I would call them out if they said something like this. If it was a politician, I would call them out and maybe not vote for them. I find this comment so beyond the bounds of criticism. But for a lot of people in this country, it doesn't matter. You're in your echo chamber. You just keep seeking out information that affirms what you think you already know, and you'll never criticize your own team and constantly criticize the others, and we're worse because of that. Brian Sullivan, in about 5 minutes on what the Fed did, here on CCO. It is a lengthy, lengthy contract that we have with Brian Sullivan, Sully CNBC on the Twitter machine. And one of the key requirements is local music. This, Sully, is Hippocampus. Hippocampus song is Paranoid. They are playing Friday at First Avenue. I think you should fly into town. I'll get us two tickets and we'll see this band. They're very good.
I like it. First Avenue's legendary. I'm actually in Central Time Zone. I'm in Houston, Texas right now, so it wouldn't be that hard. And by the way, it's 105 degrees here with the humidity, so I wouldn't mind a little Minneapolis weather right now. Just throwing that out there.
We've had warm weather, but as a warm weather lover, I am fine with it. Not a big Houston fan. I got to be honest. Among the major cities humidity. In America, the humidity, and it's so vast. I need just one centralized downtown where a lot's going on, as opposed to here's a strip mall. Here's a strip mall. Everybody gets a strip mall. That's what I think of with my travels to Houston. So let's get to it. The Fed says not a quarter point. We're going to cut the rate a half point. Your reaction to that is?
Surprised, but not surprised. That's a non-answer answer. Yeah. I sound like an economist. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry about that. But I will say this. It is probably the most, in terms of expectations, the most surprising Fed decisions 2009. We also had a Fed governor, which is the really high level just under the chairman, the first Fed governor dissent on a cut since 2005. So really in 20 years, first governor to dissent on a cut in 20 years. So that's what makes it surprising. What does the Fed see that makes them think that we need to lower borrowing costs by 0.5% immediately versus 0.25%? We don't know. The pressure is on right now. Mm-hmm. We'll learn more, hopefully. But I will say this. If your audience is hoping, oh, yay, now mortgage rates are going to fall, no. The bond market has already moved ahead of the Fed. So actually, bond yields are up. So in other words, mortgages and car loans and things like that have already moved down, anticipating this.
Okay, so let me go back to a couple of your comments here. Let's go to the with the other governor stepping forward and saying, I'm against this. Is this a little bit like the Supreme Court, that they try so often to have the 9-0 ruling because they really want to send a message to the country, and they get that a fair amount of time, but not often. But you're telling me this is extraordinarily rare. Will we hear from this individual to further explain this decision?
Not today, but maybe soon. It's Bowman. But it'll just be like a footnote. You know, Bowman dissented, right? So
yeah.
Obviously, Jay Powell's the Fed chair. He's in a press conference right now. It's live. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll learn more. But listen, the Fed doesn't tip its hand much, right? I mean, they sort of speak in these generalities, and kind of that's our job and our experts on the air's job to kind of parse through this. I think it is a bit of a surprise. You're going to have the conspiracy theorists pop their heads up and be like, well, the election's coming up. Of course, they cut by 0.5%. So, Listen, you guys are up there in Minneapolis. Everybody lives their own economy. I've always said that. Yeah. Government data can mean a little bit, but it doesn't mean everything. Everybody's economy is personal. And the Fed clearly saw something that made them want to be a little more aggressive in stimulating the economy, which is interesting. And now the new concern is, does this reignite inflation by creating, you know, more people borrowing money to build things, et cetera?
Okay. If that is going to happen, if the economy, and you're so right, my economy is different than your economy, Chris's economy is different, but if the broadest macro economy jumps up a little bit on the inflation side, how soon will we see that?
Man, that's a good question. I think it's not to punt again, but I think it's a regional question, because certain pockets of America are doing better and certain pockets are doing worse than others. Generally, it takes about 9 months for any Fed move up or down to really trickle through to the economy, to where you start to kind of feel it. Remember, for four years, the Federal Reserve, since March of 2020, COVID hit, has been in a super easing mode. They dramatically cut rates, but they also did stuff that's a little more wonky. They bought mortgages. They bought treasuries. We called it quantitative easing in fancy-schmancy CNBC terms, where they loosened the economy. Very, very layman's terms, they added a bunch of oil to the engine, right, and threw in some high-octane gas to keep things going. That helps spark inflation. Then they put the brakes on. So we'll see if this sort of gets the gas pedal going again, for lack of another car analogy.
Brian Sullivan is with us. Outstanding, as always. Check out his great work on CNBC on a regular basis. Sully CNBC on X. I have on your network right now. They're carrying Powell. I obviously cannot listen to it, but they're putting the graphics up. And Powell, among the things he said, is the economy is strong overall. Is that something you expected Powell to say today?
Well, yes, but why? Why say that and then be cutting rates? I mean, if I was going to be critical of the Fed chair, and listen, Jay Powell was appointed by Donald Trump. So people, they try to politicize the Fed. Let's remember, Powell was appointed by Trump. Biden kept him in office. Powell is simply a human being, like all of us, who would probably like to keep his job. Now, whether or not that matters or not, those are not my words. David Zervos of Jefferies, many others have said that. These are human beings at the end of the day. If the economy is that strong overall, why cut borrowing costs? And I think that's a question that is a very good one that hopefully he will further answer. But, you know, it comes to inflation. I don't know what the Federal Reserve can do about the fact that many of your listeners' auto insurance rates are probably up 30% for no reason, or home insurance has surged 20% for no reason. Federal Reserve can't do anything about that.
What, Okay, so I think another good point that you said is so much is already built in. And you live this every day when you're on talking about it. We wait for jobs numbers. We wait for data like this. Well, the experts, you know, who are dealing with this are always 2-3 days ahead. You know, so what's your guess on what the market is going to do? Because I think a lot of laymen like me would think, well, geez, this says good things about the economy. So I would think I'm going to look at the Dow and the NASDAQ the next couple of weeks, and they're going to react really favorably. Is that just too much of a leap by me offering that up when, you know, the truth is we really don't know yet?
Well, a little, not too much of a leap. It's called a hop. Okay, it's not a leap, it's a skip or
that,
a hop.
Because that's probably is the reality of my leaping ability also.
Yeah, mine too, with my 4-inch vertical leap. Yeah. Yep. So it's here's the thing. The bond market knew the Fed was going to cut, whether it was going to be by a quarter point or a half a point. That was the question, but they knew a cut was coming. And by the way, forget about this cut. The bond market is expecting the Fed to cut interest rates for the next year and a half. Okay, for the next year and a half, maybe down another 2%. So the bond market, if you look at the yield on the 10-year, and I'm bringing this up because if your audience is trying to buy a home, the 10-year treasury bond is what mortgages are largely priced off of. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in buying a home, you want to look at the price of the 10-year bond. And the yield on that has gone from 5.5% to about 4%. So down 1.5%. So mortgages are coming down. So the Federal Reserve, the bond market is 1% ahead of the Federal Reserve already.
Okay. We're 48 days away from the election, and the economy is always the biggest issue out there. And on the economy, the former president, in almost every single poll, is having a great deal of success against the vice president. We can't predict the next 48 days, but do you expect anything else that would be a bigger economic story outside of something really dramatic taking place than today? So if I say to you, Sully, we're reviewing the last 3 months, and I say, which day was the biggest day in economic news? And I tell you it was the Fed cutting the rate by a half point. Is that right? Is that the biggest story?
From a CNBC perspective, it probably is. But here's the reality. I've been running for 2 years a basket of just 4 items at the grocery store, same grocery store. I'm doing it on Instacart, so I get it maybe a little more expensive, but it's the same store, same Instacart, same exact 4 products. Milk, eggs, bread, 1 pound of ground beef, same brand, same store. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just re-ran it yesterday. It's up another dollar from last year. Okay.
Yes.
So the Federal Reserve cutting rates, when your viewers and listeners are going to the grocery store and they're still annoyed that it's $100 a bag when it used to be $75 or $60 a bag. But here's the thing. What is Trump going to do about that? What's Harris going to do about that? What's the Federal Reserve going to do about that? They're not. Those prices are never coming down meaningfully because they're built into labor. Unless people get massive pay cuts and truckers start making less money and everybody takes a wage cut and a profit cut somewhere along the line, those prices are not going to come down. So I think the biggest economic story is, yes, did inflation come down? Sure. But if it kept up where it was going, we would have been doomed.
Yeah.
Prices are still much higher, much, much, much higher than they were 3 years ago for a lot of things. And I don't know any political party, Kang or Kodos, the Simpsons reference. I don't know. Either one could solve that.
Great stuff, sir. Thank you so much. Travel safe. You know, we'll reach out again soon.
Yep.
Brian Sullivan, Sully CNBC, with us. I'm with him on the grocery shopping. I was grocery shopping a couple days ago, timed it so there were a lot of BOGO options. That's good. I like it. If it's going to come down, if that core element of our life is going to slow the growth, or it's actually going to slip maybe a little bit, it's going to take a long ways. And the truth is, it did jump dramatically during Biden-Harris. The truth is, the whole world stopped economically. And when the whole world stops, in this case because of a pandemic, and you infuse that staggering amount of money in every economy on the planet, if you are going to pay attention, you're going to tell the truth, you're going to have inflation. It's unavoidable. Now the question is, did they go too far with the last one? Looks to me like the answer is yes. But when Trump is asked to explain specifically how he's going to lower grocery prices, where we most all can identify, he doesn't have a great answer. His answer is, I built the greatest economy ever. Well, he didn't. It was a good economy, no doubt. It's just a lie that it was the greatest economy. Would I go back to plenty of that economy? Sure. By the way, the economy he inherited from Obama was very good. The economy that Biden inherited from Trump was a disaster. And by the way, that was because of the pandemic. Some, how Trump handled it, way, way more because of the pandemic. And no matter who would have been the president, could have been Hillary Clinton, it would have been a disaster also. But the idea that it's presto magico, to make up a word, I think I might start using magico more often, work it in, personal life, professional life. The idea that if you're a Trump supporter, and there are tens and tens of millions in this country, that all of a sudden the economy is going to go right back to where it was when he was flourishing in 17, 18, that's naive. The grocery prices are still going to be a giant pain in the butt. And this is significant news, there's no doubt. But when Brian is saying we can talk macroeconomy, because it matters. It does matter. A jobs report, a Fed rate. But what matters to us is paying those absurd insurance costs now, or paying grocery prices, or paying for your kids' childcare. That's the economy that you really care about. What you see every day with your own cash and your own credit cards. You want to chime in? You can. 651-461-9226. The mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Fry, joins us 2:35. A reminder, we're about a month away. October 21st, it's a Monday, Chanhassen Dinner Theater, a celebration of this radio station, this station turning 100 this year. Outside of Adam, who's been suspended from the party. Some will say he's in Iceland. I'm saying he's suspended from the party. Everybody who hosts the show weekly will be out there. Producers will be there. Tubbs will be there. Former hosts will be there. Chanhassen Dinner Theater does a great job for events like this. The tickets, there's not many left. Very few. If you love this station, you should go to WCCLRadio.com. Food, show, check it out. Again, for the remaining tickets, WCCORadio.com.